The current funding measure for road, bridge, and transit projects under the transportation bill expires June 30th. Yesterday, House and Senate leaders failed to break the deadlock over the bill and urged members to work through their differences. The Senate passed a $109 billion bill, but it's stalled in the House. A larger, controversial bill that some Republicans wanted that would have fast-tracked the Trans-Canada Keystone XL pipeline has failed. Democrats accuse Republicans of delaying the bill to avoid injecting money into the economy and creating jobs, which would make President Obama look good. Republicans say Democrats haven't addressed how to pay for the bill. But what does the deadlock mean for infrastructure? Brian Deary is the senior director of the Highway and Transportation Division of the Associated General Contractors of America. They've been lobbying for Congress to pass the bill because, Brian, it's in your members' best interest to build things.
Certainly is. It's also, I think, in the nation's best interest to build things.
Well, there's some facts behind that. According to the Council of Foreign Relations, the U.S. has gone from 5th to 24th in the ranking of infrastructure quality, you know, around the world. And we know, just anecdotally, we know about some of the problems. Of course, in 2007, there was the I-35 Mississippi River Bridge in Minneapolis that collapsed. There's the Saugatuck Avenue Bridge on Interstate 95. Anybody who drives up and down the East Coast through Connecticut, you know about this really heavily traveled bridge, about 130,000 cars a day. And the state bridge inspectors have rated it structurally deficient. What are some other examples that you have of places that are known to need help and the help is held up?
To take your example a little further, further up 95 up in Rhode Island, the Pawtucket River Bridge, they had to divert the heavy truck traffic off of that bridge because it is structurally deficient. And they're currently rebuilding half of it on the one side of the interstate. The other side of the interstate, they still have the restrictions on the trucks going across it.
Well, some would say, so, you know, not so what, you know, that's going to be inconvenient. But why else is it a problem when trucks get diverted?
The trucks are moving goods around the country. Any kind of transportation delay costs more for the transporters, and obviously that translates into higher costs for goods and services around the country.
Well, again, I have some stats here. Apparently, time and fuel wasted in traffic congestion cost the country $101 billion. That's $713 per commuter in 2010. What, do you have any dollars for what the jobs would be if this construction could get started?
Oh, sure. Just the spinoff from infrastructure investment. So every $1 billion of construction in infrastructure projects creates about 34,000 jobs.
So the bill is $100 billion. And you're saying with $1 billion you can add 34,000. Does it compute that you would then add 100 times that?
Sure. They're talking about, you know, this bill supporting about 3 million jobs nationwide if it were, when it passed.
Well, meanwhile, tell us some of the other projects that you and others are salivating over. You know, we see maybe a beautiful old bridge. You see jobs. Where are you looking?
For instance, up in New York, just north of New York City, there's the Tappan Zee Bridge, which goes over the Hudson River. It's the widest part of the Hudson up there.
And it's my absolute favorite bridge in the world.
And it's a gorgeous ride over that bridge. It really is. Well, that bridge is in bad shape. I mean, it needs to be replaced, and it's a $5 billion project. So coming up with, you know, $5 billion is not easy to do, and they're looking at all kinds of different creative financing ways to come up with money to build that.
And for listeners outside the area, I just want to mention, I happened to speak to a structural engineer about this bridge in particular, and he pointed out, you know, structural engineers are really good. When they built that bridge 60 years ago, they were told we want it to last about 60 years, and so they did make it last about 60 years. And in order to replace it, you can't say that's, it's such a lifeline, you can't close it down, but you almost have to build another bridge upriver in order to repair the Tappan Zee.
Exactly. And I don't think that's the plan. I think that they're going to build, take down that structure half and half and build it that way. I'm not 100%
right.
Sure. But you're exactly right. I mean, they were, a lot of these bridges were built, you know, in the early days of the interstate program, 50, 60 years ago. And you're right, they were built to last 40, 50, 60 years, and they've run out of their life. And in addition to that, not only were they designed to only last that long, but the traffic loads are double what anybody ever anticipated.
At least the truck traffic
has skyrocketed because of just-in-time delivery and all these other methods of getting our goods around the country.
Do you think, you know, we don't want to get into scare tactics, but do you think there are bridges on the brink of falling down?
No, I don't. we do have inspectors, and there are federal requirements that the DOTs have to go out annually, and they have to inspect the bridges. And when they find problems, they do take measures to shore up whatever the problem is. The thing is that we can only apply so many Band-Aids. I mean, you know, some of these bridges have been patched and patched and patched, and now it's time to replace them.
Well, in Washington State, the Columbia River Bridge on Interstate 5 that connects Washington and Oregon needs to be replaced. It depends on funding from the transportation bill. It's 95 years old. You mentioned Bakersfield, California, where they're having, you know, they're being squeezed on the roads because roads were built before the housing boom. Tell us a little bit more about these areas and others.
Well, okay, so the Columbia Crossing Bridge, that's a good example. 95 years old. It was built on wood pilings. Another good example is the I-74 bridge, and it's the Quad City bridges between Iowa and Illinois. Illinois and Iowa have both, you know, pledged their share of the money, and now they're waiting for this federal bill that we were talking about earlier to get passed so that they can move forward with this bridge. Yeah. And there's examples like that all over the country.
I'm just wondering, is there a lot of talk? I mean, is this the buzz among builders? You know, where's that transportation bill?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we put out an almost daily update on what's going on in Congress, and of course we have our members calling their senators and their representatives asking them to get this bill moving. The federal transportation bill in many states funds anywhere from 40% to 70% of their capital improvement budget. So it's a significant piece of legislation, and it you know, has economic spin-offs that benefit the country all over the place.
By the way, do you speak to counterparts internationally? I mean, we know other countries are going through their own terrible budget crises, but I've heard people recently traveling through the U.S. express surprise at the way the roads look.
Yes, other countries are investing significantly higher portions of their GDP in infrastructure, in transportation infrastructure. The United States invests about 2.4% of GDP in infrastructure. Europe is investing right now about 5%. Countries like China and India are even four times what we're doing here in the United States. And those are the countries, of course, that we're going to be competing with. And transportation is becoming a bigger and bigger factor in the cost of products. And so the better the infrastructure, the cheaper the products, the more competitive we are.
Brian Deary, Senior Director of the Highway and Transportation Division of the Associated General Contractors of America. Brian, thanks so much.
Robin, thank you.
Of course, they're in the business of building bridges, but here in Massachusetts, there are hundreds of structurally deficient bridges, many also repaired since that disaster in Minnesota. So is there a bridge that worries you? Let us know, hereandnow.org. You can tweet us at hereandnow or at hereandnowrobin, or post a picture at facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Show us your bridges, here and now.